The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, good morning to you. How are you?
Well, good morning to you on this very important day, International Waffle Day, I understand.
It is. So what is your favorite topping?
I'm very, very boring. I like them either just plain or with a little bit of cinnamon, maybe a drizzle of honey.
Very, very interesting. Going the very, it's an interesting approach. It is an interesting, I actually just like them with batter, salted batter. That's all I need. We've had all sorts of very wild suggestions, lots of blueberries going on with our listeners, but I guess everybody's got different taste. Talking about that, let's get on to some of our stories. The horrific offer of $1 million for Israel human rights abuses. Please unpack this for me. What is this?
Well, this is just extraordinary. This is the United States, purported to be Israel's strongest ally, offering $1 million to report on Israeli human rights violation or alleged human rights violation. And of course, there is justifiable concern for this because it does raise the issue of potential abuse by organizations who do have an agenda against Israel via BDS and other kinds of international tribunals that want to try and put further claims against what they see as Israel's legitimacy as a sovereign nation. So the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labor, also known as the DRL, have announced an open competition for projects that strengthen accountability and human rights in Israel and the West Bank in Gaza, and want people to collect, archive and maintain human rights documentation to support justice and accountability and civil society-led advocacy efforts that may include documentation of legal or security sector violations, housing, land, and property rights. Now, in the past, it has been exposed that organizations like Breaking the Silence and B'Tselem have taken advantage of these kinds of offers or situations to try and shore up funding for themselves. There was a significant expose in Israel just how these organizations manufacture these kinds of stories. Now, this comes on the back of the Amnesty International report being released, and it's been absolutely astounding to me to see that while we are looking at a gross violation of human rights in Ukraine by Russia, there's a significant war going on. Their focus seems to be there. Their focus seems to be on Israel, rather than looking there. Paul O'Brien, who is the executive director of Amnesty International USA, has made no qualms or explanations about the fact that he doesn't believe that Jews are entitled to a state of their own and that it should be called Israel. He thinks that we should just have some safe spaces in some countries. Well, that's working out well for us. And of course, it comes in a week where we've seen one of the most horrific terror attacks on our soil in southern Israel that we have for a long period of time. I mean, is it me or are we living in an Orwellian universe?
It just doesn't make sense. Is any other country, are people incentivized to find human rights abuses in any other country in the world?
Well, this is the million-dollar question, and Secretary of State Blinken is due in Israel this coming week. And I think that this is something that our foreign minister is going to bring up and put on the table and say, you know, you met last week with Paul O'Brien, with representatives of Amnesty International and with Human Rights Watch. They have a proven history of specifically targeting Israel with this accusation of apartheid, which is aimed specifically to call into question Israel's right as a sovereign, legitimate state, which contravenes your adoption of IRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism, which specifically states that slurs like saying Israel is an apartheid state constitute anti-Semitism. So do you want to specifically fund more anti-Semitism? Now, Professor Gerald Steinberg, he's the director of NGO Monitor, which looks at the funding of these organizations, says that he's never seen U.S. funding or an announcement of this kind. He says that U.S. funding generally was not for these more political NGOs under the headings of human rights. So it is a very, very worrying development, and one that I hope is firmly on the agenda of at least our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who has warned of this kind of action, and that the accusation of apartheid and efforts around that will certainly be ramped up this year. He has warned about that. So I hope that he has a very frank discussion with his American counterpart.
It absolutely takes my breath away. It's just the hypocrisy, the focus here is so bizarre that it is really just unfathomable. Let's just talk about the law enacting anti-BDS and anti-Semitism laws.
Well, this is another phenomenal development. Last week, we spoke that Colorado had enacted their anti-BDS laws. Today, we have news that Iowa is enacting not just their anti-BDS laws, but they are also adopting the IRA definition of anti-Semitism. And they say that they're going to use that as an education tool for state officials. And this must be taken into consideration when they start looking at acts of discrimination against Jewish people. And the governor of Iowa has said that the critical amendment further excludes any entity that is a wholly owned subsidiary or a majority owned subsidiary, parent company, or affiliate of such business. So that's taking a pot shot at Unilever and Ben and Jerry's for their discriminatory passing or statement that says that they will not be selling their ice cream in what they call the disputed territories, and that they will be ending the deal with the Israeli manufacturer. He himself has taken Unilever and Ben & Jerry's to court. So the governor goes on to say that the bill signals Iowa's enduring support for the state of Israel and our categorical rejection of anti-Semitism. Iowa continues to stand shoulder to shoulder with the state of Israel, one of America's most important and reliable allies. I think she should have a chat with her Department of State. I'm just saying there, Howard.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. The war in Ukraine continues. Bennett and Zelensky have spoken again. These two basically have each other on speed dial.
Well, it appears so. You know, Israel does have this very, very delicate role of mediator, not the only country to be called up for mediation, but certainly the country that President Zelensky seems as the most probable. No pressure there, Howard, at all. And he keeps reiterating that he sees Jerusalem as the perfect venue to host these kinds of talks. Now, Israel is no stranger to having to negotiate. We kind of are experts on negotiations, whether they go well or not.
I was going to say, we haven't had a lot of, I mean, we've had some successes there, but not too many. Well, yeah, interesting.
Well, it's interesting that we look at it because if Israel has been called in to mediate, and we were called in to mediate on another issue regarding the UAE, Saudi and America allegedly earlier this week, that, you know, the Saudis, the Emiratis weren't taking President Biden's calls. And rumor has it, or certainly was reported, that they had called Israel to maybe come in and mediate. So here is little Israel trying to mediate, but you know, one has to look at it and wonder that when we do sit with negotiations with our neighbors, who is the one that's less willing to negotiate? And it's seen that Israel is a good enough mediator or negotiator. But yes, conversations were had. Prime Minister Bennett spoke to Putin the day before, and while we have no formal statements from Bennett's office, we seem to have a lot of statements and tweets coming from both Putin and Zelensky. And this also goes to show why Israel is very, very cautious, because we are in a very precarious position here. So President Zelensky goes on to say that he has spoken to Prime Minister Bennett. They are looking at ways to end Russian aggression. That's certainly the terminology he uses. Now we go to the conversation with Putin. Putin is said to have offered his condolences for the terror attack. This is as per the Kremlin. This is not per Bennett. This is as per the Kremlin. And that, according to the Kremlin, Prime Minister Bennett has given his assessment on goings on around Ukraine, taking into account other international leaders, quote unquote.
Yeah, and let's hope that there is some success there. And then Chief of Staff speaks about Jewish roots and asks for greater support of Israel in conversation with journalists. Tell us about that.
Well, this is Andrew Yermak. He is Zelensky's chief of staff. You know, if you had watched the video clip when it was alleged that Babin Yar was shelled, you would have seen he was the one walking into President Zelensky saying Babin Yar has been shelled. Now, he has spoken to a group of Israeli journalists. He spoke yesterday, also pushing for military aid. We heard Zelensky earlier this week in his speech to the Knesset appealing for military aid from Israel, asking for iron domes. Now, it's very strange to Israelis that they keep pushing the issue of iron domes, because if you understand how the iron dome works, it's not designed to counteract or intercept hyperbaric missiles and the type of artillery that the Russians are using, and also in such a big space. Iron domes are specifically designed for the type of rockets, mortars, projectiles fired at a country the size of Israel. But I think it's very much about the optics there, because the world looks at Israel and the incredible way that the Iron Dome intercepts these incoming rockets. Also, it can't be forgotten that the Iron Dome system is purely defensive, and using that imagery reinforces forces, at least to me, Howard, and I'd be interested in your opinion, it reinforces that we are just defending ourselves. You know, we are purely in a defensive position.
Yeah, it is. It's just phenomenal that this continues. Before I let you go completely, the weather in Israel has been absolutely bizarre. It's a Jerusalem marathon today. I know a number of people running. They were sending me screenshots of what this is going to be looking like. It's quite something.
Well, put it to you this way. It is 8 degrees. It hasn't stopped raining. We are having the coldest March in 100 years. So if any of you have seen where our spring or summer has disappeared to, please kindly return it, because this weather is extraordinary. Although it is rumored to be warming up significantly next week. We go from, I think it's 16 degrees on Sunday to 22 on Monday. So I don't know, you know, late bloomers, Howard, you know.
It's just phenomenal. So as you move to summertime, so winter kicks in and it's cold and miserable. Let's hope next week is better.
Absolutely. Oh, before we go, you wanted to know Zelensky aides Jewish roots. He says his father was Jewish. He was born in Kyiv, and some of his relatives were killed in Babin Yar.
And that's where we leave it. Raleen Marks, it is 8 o'clock. Thank you as always. Wishing you a warm weekend. Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.